Welcome to the Christian Romance Book Club podcast, powered by FamilyFiction.com and hosted by Erica Rodriguez Well. This show is for readers of all types of Christian romance fiction. Tune in every episode for updates and author interviews. Whether you love contemporary romance, romantic suspense, historical romance, or Amish romance. Want to talk Christian romance in between episodes? Join our private book club group on Facebook and visit our website at FamilyFiction.com. Join our family at Patreon.com/FamilyFiction and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And now for your host, Erica Rodriguez Well.
Welcome to the Christian Romance Book Club podcast. I'm Erica Rodriguez Well. In our private Facebook group, our featured book for the month of November is the Amish romance Morning Star by Charlotte Hubbard. It's the first book in the Maidles of Morning Star series. When five Maidles join forces to turn an abandoned barn into an Amish marketplace, the unmarried women have community in mind, but their fledgling enterprise promises to reap surprising rewards for each in turn, including the gift of unexpected love. Would you like to join the conversation? In the show notes for this episode, find a link to join the private Facebook group. We'll be discussing the book inside the group the week of November 23rd. Are you an author or publisher who wants to be featured in the book club? Email Ross at FamilyFiction.com for more information. When we come back, I'll be talking to Amish romance author Amy Gruchowski.
This spot is where sponsored books are going to be mentioned. Are you an author or publisher? Do you wish I was talking about your book right now? Find out how to sponsor an episode of the Christian Romance Book Club podcast by emailing Ross at FamilyFiction.com.
And now, my interview with author Amy Gruchowski.
Today's episode, we're welcoming Amy Gruchowski, and we'll be discussing her book, Forever Home, which is her first in the Amish Dreams on Prince Edward Island series. Amy, why did you pick Prince Edward Island as your setting?
That is kind of fun to answer. So I was actually doing some research. I was really trying to decide if Amish was a genre that I wanted to delve into. So I had some experience in the Amish community, very personal experience for a number of years, but that's different than writing about it. And so as I was doing some research, I just the right time on the right day punched in Canadian Amish into Google, and up popped a really romantic picture of a newlywed couple riding their horse and buggy on an island road, and it said Canadian Amish moved to Prince Edward Island, and boom. I mean, that was so exciting because I wanted to write a contemporary Amish story, not a historical, even though I love historicals, and that they were just now moving to Prince Edward Island made it contemporary, but so exciting. Yeah. So from there, the research went on, and Anne of Green Gables, Amish, I just had to write a story.
Yes, because that's usually the first thing you think of, or at least for most of us, the whole Anne of Green Gables.
Right.
Those beautiful books. That's exciting. So it's contemporary Amish. That's yes. Really fun. What kind of research did you wind up doing there?
Well, for the setting, I had to rely on online and books and just documents on the culture and so forth of the island. For my second book, The Christmas Visitor, which I probably shouldn't have brought up yet, but for that one, I actually was able to get involved with some Facebook groups from people who live on the island and get some input from them. So the research for the island mostly came from, I wasn't ever able to actually visit there yet. So I look forward to them. So as soon as life goes back to travel and touristy type things where I can go to Canada and visit, that is on the top of my list. Also, something my three nieces who are Canadian are looking forward to doing with me. So
that's definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it gives you something to keep you going until the time comes.
So you mentioned earlier that you have some personal experience. Are you able to talk a little bit about your personal experience? Is that personal experience with the Amish what drew you to writing? I mean, you did say that it's different from writing, but is that what pulled you in?
Well, I don't know if your listeners know or not, but before I followed my passion for writing. I was a nurse. And so during my early 20s, while I was in nursing school, I actually worked for a Beachy Amish family who ran a nursing home as a ministry. And so I actually lived in one of their apartments. So we were great friends, got to very close to the family. And also that was my introduction really to the Mennonite and Amish community that was in the area where I lived in Virginia. So we're not talking Canadian, we're talking about Virginia, which is a whole, you know, different sphere from what people think of it, you know, in Pennsylvania as well. Yeah. So that was my experience and the friends that I made in those six, almost 7 years.
Wow. Did in their running the nursing home, was the nursing home for other Amish people or was it open to everybody? That's really
interesting. No, it really, you know, the Mennonites and Amish in general have their own way of caring for their elders. So it was run as a ministry to people in the community, but not the Amish. But it was by a Beachy Amish family. So they really saw it as a ministry to the elderly.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about ministry and about working with the elderly and their faith. And it made me a different kind of nurse than I might have been otherwise.
Oh, yeah. It must be so comforting on an additional level to be able to care for the elderly or to care for people in general and really have a solid faith environment to do that in.
Right, right. It was very comforting, I think, to those who were spending, you know, their latter years there and to their families. Yeah, it was interesting. That's where my firsthand experience with the Amish faith and with the Mennonite faith comes from. And so in my stories, while I do a lot of research to get details right, to get the culture right, to understand a little bit deeper about their past, their heritage, where they came from, all of those things, I do a lot of reading, a lot of research, a lot of talking to people. But what I really aimed for in my story was the feeling of the sense of community, the sense of family, the sense of faith just being naturally interwoven into everything in life. And so I hope that more than details is what comes through with the characters. I want both, but I mostly want people to feel what I felt.
That must be beautiful, applying that also to the romance angle of the story. Is romance something that you have always wanted to write? What inspired you to write?
I have always wanted to write at least since I read my first chapter books. Yeah. In fact, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder and the Little House on the Prairie books, I can still picture my bedroom laying on the carpet, the box set, you know, sitting in front of me and making my way through the whole thing. And I can still remember, I must have been 7 or 8 years old, maybe, and starting the first one and realizing that, hey, she wrote a journal. She kept a journal. She kept a diary. And then when she was older, she wrote these stories of what it was like. If she could do that, I could do that too. You know, It was because Laura was a little girl, it somehow felt achievable and real to me. So the desire was always there. I did a lot of creative writing in middle school and in high school. And life just took a turn for me in my early college years that put me on another path with nursing. And then there was nursing and I was single until I was 31. I did some travel nursing. That's how I met my husband. So then there was marriage and then there was young children. And along about the time my second son was about 2 years old, my husband said, hey, look, you know, I've gotten my master's degree. It's your turn. What do you want to do? Do you want to go to school to be a nurse practitioner? What do you want to do? And so I at first was like, yeah. And then after some soul searching, I was like, no, I want to be an author. I want to write a book. I want to write lots of books. books. That's what I've always wanted. If I could go back and do anything different, that's the only thing I can imagine. And so he was behind me 100%, has supported me all the way. You know, it's a long journey from the first words you write in hope of publication until you actually get there. So he's been a wonderful sport.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I think I wandered way off the question, didn't I?
No,
I don't even remember the question.
No, this is exactly what we want. Thank you. It's one of those things where you hope the questions would inspire those kinds of stories. Yeah, this is part of the fun. Don't worry about wandering off. You were saying, so the sound fell out. Did you say Amish books? I really wanted to do Amish books, or was it?
No.
Okay.
No, I certainly didn't say Amish books because it hadn't occurred to me at that time that that would be where I would go. In fact, my first published work was with Family Fiction. I really liked writing historical, and I had interviewed a couple about their time in the Philippines because I was working on a World War II novel, because I was focusing on the nurses who were stranded in the Philippines after the Japanese invaded. So I was talking to this couple, and she told me the sweetest story about her father and mother, about their romance, and her father served in the war, but in Italy. But anyway, but that little story was in the back of my head. So there was a short story competition that was done by Family Fiction, and I entered my little Love in the Penny Post short World War II story, and it was a finalist and was published in a little anthology. And I mean, to me, it was like, thank you, God, that was just the little nudge I need to keep going.
Oh,
you
that's
know?
So cool.
And so historicals are really what I wanted to write and what I still want to write, honestly. But for the Amish, I wanted it to be contemporary. So what directed me in that, I told you about that story that came up, but what directed me really was my heart for the message God has placed, you know, in me. Was Amish a genre where I could effectively share that through fiction? And as I began to read more about the genre, more about what readers of the genre love, why they love Amish stories, I felt like I think I can do what God's calling me to do through this medium and through the genre of Amish fiction just as well as I could, you know, in historical. And so it was a bit of a challenge. So can you do that? And then that article popped up in front of me and the story just started to roll. And so I went with it.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, I think God has written stories on our hearts, you know, all of our hearts, and we express them, some of us artistically. So we express those stories either through art or sculpture or videography, or in my case, through the written word. And so those stories that are written on our heart, we just have to find the right way to communicate them. You know, what's going to be effective in communicating the story God's put on my heart? And I don't mean the story of Lydia and Joel. I mean the story of me that is in there, that can be expressed. As you know, like a painting isn't always a self-portrait of the artist, but the artist is in that work. And so when I write, I think the story is not my story, but I am in that story. And God's story is in me. Does that make sense?
I love that. So now that we've spoken about the general, now let's talk about the specific story of Lydia and Joel. How about you tell us a little about both of them?
Okay. Well, Lydia is American. Joel is Canadian. I wanted to bring something of what's familiar to us, the Pennsylvania Amish that's familiar to us, into this new place that's less familiar and combine them together. And so, I mean, that just talks romance to me. Two people, you know, bringing two different worlds and coming together. And so Joel has a pretty interesting background. His father was American, but died when Joel was young. And his mother was Canadian, so he continued to live with her. His stepfather, who she married after that, is currently the bishop of the community that he's in. So he's the bishop's stepson. But in my fictional world, Joel's father had dreams of starting a new church before he died. And so part of Joel's passion is to see his father's dream fulfilled. It's become his dream too. And so this move to Prince Edward Island was in fiction as well as in reality, not something that just happened overnight. There was a lot of planning. There was a lot of communication with the provincial government. There was a lot of work that took place before this move happened. And so in my fictional story, I have Joel as having been an essential part of that on the Amish side. But Bishop has decided that he's only going to allow married couples to join the church on the island, not a single young man. So it puts Joel in a bind. And wow, I hate spoilers. So that's all backstory that I've just given you, all backstory. And that's really where our story opens up. How do these two come together? And then, of course, later, we have a English foster child who works their way into their hearts and into their lives. So
as part of the description, it says that the English and Amish worlds collide. Is that basically where that collision happens, because the child is English?
Yeah, you know, the collision wasn't my word. No spoilers. It wasn't my word. It was, you know, back cover copy, somebody else's interpretation. But spoilers, you know, on that. So we have two antagonists really in this story. So we have one who is an antagonist within the Amish, and we have an outside antagonist. And so Joel and Lydia both have conflicts within and conflicts outside of the community, both of which to force them to love, each other, and force them to make the sacrifices that love calls for, especially for a child. And so there's a lot of colliding. Everyone involved with the part of the story that involves this foster child has the child's best at heart. They just don't see eye to eye on what that is. So I guess I just want to be clear. I haven't painted it as one society or one culture better than the other, but they don't see things the same. And so how do you reconcile that? And how does God reconcile that for them?
Yeah, wow. Did any of the characters surprise you as you developed and wrote the story?
Tammy surprised me. And for a long time, I didn't say her name because of, again, how much I dislike spoilers as a reader. But I can't get away from saying her name. It's just as part of the story. But Sammy is the foster child in this story. And I didn't intend for her. I didn't at first plan or plot for this little girl to have autism. But as I began to write her, and as she began to come to life on the page, she began to have very similar characteristics to my youngest son, who is on the spectrum. And so I used that gut instinct that this little girl has struggles with autism and with the neurodiversity that comes with that. So she surprised me. And she surprised me how much she wormed her way into my heart. So that is probably the biggest surprise. Yeah, there's lots of surprises. I don't plot every little bit of my story out before I write it. I do plot some. I don't write totally off the cuff. I research and plan and plot. But a lot of it, the characters just come alive as you write. And she was a surprise. A sweet surprise, and I think a sweet surprise to the readers too.
That's endearing. You kind of get to know your characters almost as, you know, not quite in the same way as we do, but it's so much fun.
Lovely. It is fun. There were so many times that I would be like, wow, God, is that how you feel when you create us? Like, you created us? I know it's not the same, but I'd never been able to relate to him as the creator quite in the same way as after these characters sort of just were out of you, you know. And probably they all have a little bit of my image, just like I have some of God's image, even if you're trying not to. I've been told, my husband says Lydia reminds him of me. I was like, no, she is not. I made sure she was not. And he's like, oh, but you're in there. So we can't get away from the part of us that becomes a part of our stories.
And it's sweet that he can recognize certain traits.
Hey, it's sweet that he read it. It took him a long time. This was recent.
Wow, that's really so good.
It was nice. It's not particularly his type of reading.
That was really sweet of him. What spiritual themes are you exploring through your story in Forever Home?
I think the predominant theme is forgiveness. So there's others in there. There's redemption is a strong theme, but the theme of forgiveness is really what pulls the story together. Self-forgiveness is something that Lydia really needs, and she can't find that until she finds forgiveness in Christ. And so that really is what her soul is searching for throughout the story. And in writing it, I had to dig really deep myself into what forgiveness means. How do we forgive others? How do we accept forgiveness? How do we forgive ourselves? So I've learned some really powerful, honestly life-changing lessons myself on forgiveness in the process of writing this story. And it wasn't until that became so very real to me that I was able to finish the ending the way I wanted it. So, you know, writing is cathartic, and storytelling can often come from a very deep place. And so even if it's romance and it's we have our happily ever after, you know, and hopefully there's some lightheartedness in the story, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. But it can come from deep within. And so forgiveness was a lesson that I was being taught as I wrote it. I thought I understood it, and then I understood it even more by the end.
Wow. Is that what you'd like readers especially to take away from the novel, the self-forgiveness?
I think so. I think the main thing I want for readers to take away is from this story is that there is peace to be found, that we can enjoy peace when we rest in God's forgiveness. And so that's what I hope readers take away from it, is that peace that only God gives, the forgiveness only He can offer, and resting in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes us, changes the choices that we make, and allows us to put the past behind us and move forward with our purpose.
And really gives us healing.
Yes. One of the things that Joel thinks often and remembers often are his grandmother's words that she put in every letter to him. So his grandmother, who was American, wrote to him throughout his life until she passed. And she would sign every letter with the words, "To love as God loves is always the right choice." And that's his guiding theme. And it's that love that leads us to that forgiveness. The two come together, I hope, at the end.
It's beautiful. Is the series, is it going to be on the community itself? And do you know, like...
Right. So I called the community, this community with Joel and Lydia, the New Hope. They call it New Hope. And so the series, I mean, will follow, you know, the beginnings of this new church community that is sincerely wanting to follow God, to walk with God, to do things right, but they're flawed, they make mistakes, they're people, they're human. And so we get to see throughout the series this community grow, this community struggle with all of the things that we all struggle with. And each story is its own separate romance, standalone romance between a hero and a heroine. But in each story, Sammy is always there, and we get to see her grow up too. So one of the things that I hope for is that we get to see Sammy with her challenges with autism at different ages, different stages of life. And when the last book comes of the series, it will be her love story.
Oh, how darling.
Yeah. So how many books that will be, I don't know. But you know, she's only 4 years old at the beginning in 2016. So she's 7 years old in the Christmas visitor, and 8 or 9 years old in the next book that's coming that I'm writing now, Runaway Home. And from there, we'll see what God does.
How exciting.
Or allows me to do.
That's a really sweet way to tie that together. I love that.
Yeah. So I know I like to be able to read a story and be satisfied that it was a full story. And I want to give that to readers. Like, not come to the end of the story and just because it's in a series, well, I don't know what happens until I read the next book. I want each story should be satisfying to me. That's what I want. So that's what I hope to give. But I also like in a series when you continue to see the characters that you've already learned about and you already love. So they will, so this little community will grow with us.
It's beautiful. So what is your current favorite way for you to keep in contact with your readers?
Well, I think my favorite ways are with my newsletter and my Facebook page. So my newsletter is something that I send out about once a month, and I do enjoy hearing back, but it's really the best way for them just to stay in touch with what's happening with me or my stories. But my Facebook page, I think, is much more interactive. So it's a lot more of the everyday, what's going on, and hearing from people and getting to know the readers just a little bit better. So those are the two ways that are always there. This past week and a half, I've been involved in two different Facebook parties, and those were with other authors. That has been a lot of fun. It's not something I think that maybe would have been as successful or as popular before we were all in lockdown, but because we are, and we have been for a long time now, it's been a way to really meet a lot of readers, to interact with them and hear the things that they like, even if it's not about my books, just about life in general. And so lots of participation that way. So that's been fun. I don't have any to tell you about that are coming up anytime soon, but on my Facebook page, I would announce any of those coming up. That's been fun.
Oh, cool.
I am on Twitter and Instagram. Officially, I'm on there, but it's not where I do the majority of my interacting with people.
Yeah, that's why it's better to identify what the favorite is.
Yeah, I think the Facebook page has worked the best for me so far as really connecting with people, and the newsletter. I think for people that are a little, you know, Facebook's not their comfort zone, but they like the newsletter.
Yeah, exactly. All of the platforms have such a unique characteristic about themselves, you know.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to leave one out, or at least I can't do all of them all the time, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I really sort of focus more on the Facebook. I need to get better with the email. People aren't dropping off my list, so that's not that's nice. I just know that it's something that where I could improve. But there are a lot of people that I'm able to reach that way, so that's good. People that I probably would not reach on Facebook, you know, because you email come from all different areas.
So the short story you wrote, you said family fiction. Was that actually part of the magazine? What year was that?
I should have had the book with me, you know, and I looked it up a while back. I did a post on it. I think it was 2014.
Okay.
That's how long ago. I think it was 2014, and it was an anthology. The contest was called, I think it was called The Short. I think it was just called The Short. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So, and it was, yeah, so I think I was the finalist in the historical romance. Like, there were different categories, you know, and there were several in there, and I didn't think I was a top 10 finalist, but they sent me a prize for the top 10 finalists. It was like this massive box of books, and I was like, I wasn't a top 10, and whoever I was talking to was like, yeah, you were.
That's so cool.
And I'm like, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure.
Wow, that's so great. I love that.
So anyway, yeah. So that was just so encouraging, you know, and it had to be 1,000 words or less, I think. Was it 1,000 or 600? It was really short.
Wow. Either one is super short.
Yeah. So, and that was, you know, and I read it now and I think, I try not to read it because, you know, otherwise I want to butcher it and edit it. But it was fun. And mostly it was just like an encouragement to keep on.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Because, you know, this road has got its highs and its lows, you know, it's quite the roller coaster.
Any encouragement along the way is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, thank you. It's been such a pleasure talking with you. What a joy it has been to spend this time with you and talk about your book.
And I've really enjoyed getting to know you and to be here. And like I said before, I do owe some thanks to Family Fiction all along the way for their encouragement through this journey.
Thank you for listening to the Christian Romance Book Club podcast, brought to you by familyfiction.com and hosted by Erica Rodriguez Well. Are you an author or publisher? Find out how to sponsor the show by emailing ross@familyfiction.com. Join our private book club group on Facebook. Become a member of our family at patreon.com/familyfiction. And subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. That's it for this episode of the Christian Romance Book Club podcast. We'll see you again next time.